defile himself. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for this time we can gather together to be here. We do ask your blessing upon the hearers that are here to hear today. Give them ears to hear and eyes to see what your Spirit is saying this day to their hearts. We are grateful and thankful for the Word of God that can speak to us and give us encouragement. And we stand upon that this day now. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel is a topic that a lot of people talk about. You probably read it in your Bible, and talks about his trials as a young kid, a young youth, and then how he, for over 70 years, served in the Babylonian court until King Cyrus became king of the Medes and Persians, which was 70 years later. So from Daniel's age of maybe 14, 15, 16, he served the kings that were the reigning of the empires at the time, the Babylonian Empire, as well as the Medes and the Persian Empire. But in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar came to Babylon, or from Babylon, to take over the land of Israel. And in taking over the land of Israel, Nebuchadnezzar had a goal in mind, that he was going to take the young and the prince and those of reputable age there in Israel, take them back to Babylon, remove them from their family, and bring them to Babylon, where he was going to enroll them into the Babylon University. And in Babylon University, he was going to teach these students, these young students, for 3 years. University now is about 4 years, but back then it was 3 years. And he enlisted many youth, many young people who went to this university to learn about the culture of the Babylonians. And Nebuchadnezzar's whole idea was to reorient them in the ways of the Babylonian Empire, and hopefully that they would forget about the Israel and what they were taught as young kids in Israel. Now think about that. If you have children, or children, if you are here today, can you imagine getting ripped from your father and your mother and taken to a foreign land where you would never see them? Or parents, your kids were taken away from you to a foreign land that you could even go and visit them? There would be a lot of heartache, wouldn't there be? That would be kind of hard for a young kid, 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, ripped out of their parents' home, ripped out of their parents' arms, and taken to a university where for 3 years they were going to be taught things that go contrary to everything that they learned in Israel. Contrary to everything that they learned in Israel. And in the midst of that, Daniel was about a 17 years old man, a young youth, I should say, 17 years old. And Daniel and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they ended up getting their names to be that, they were taken and they were enlisted, and they became known as the four favorites of the university. Four favorites. Can you have favorites in the university? I don't know. Maybe you can. Can you, Stella? I mean, I remember getting a scarf, being an honor or a high honor student, having a 4.0 average. So that was pretty honor, right, to get something like that at graduation. But here, these four guys became the most great of exiles in the Babylonian university, where they followed everything that Nebuchadnezzar was teaching them, the university was teaching them. They became so good that the king says, I want you to serve in my court, but if you're going to serve in my court, you got to do something. You got to eat of my meat and you got to drink of my drink. And Daniel said, I don't have a problem you changing my name, because Daniel's name was changed from Daniel to Belteshazzar. You can read that in the Bible. Meshach was changed to Mishael. The other two names, I would have to go look at them. But nonetheless, the names were changed. They didn't have a problem with the name being changed. The environment was changed. And the place where they live was changed. But one thing they would not do, they would not defile themselves. They dared to be different. That's what they did. They dared to be different. And that's what I want to talk to you young people today, as well as you adults. I dare you to be different. I dare you to be a Daniel. Because we live in a culture today where the culture dictates what we should believe and how we should act and what we should accept. And it goes contrary to what the Word of God says, doesn't it? Contrary to what the Word of God says. I'm not clotheslining preaching. I'm preaching what the Word of God says. And we have a culture today that tells us those things. And because we have a culture today that tells us this thing, we are tested in that culture. And that culture we're tested in wants to see if we will conform or if we will keep our conviction and stand for what's right. And that's what Daniel was willing to do. That's what his three friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, that's what they were willing to do. They were willing to be different. They were willing to stand. They were willing to be tested for what the king wanted them to do. And they gave an alternative, the scripture tells us, that don't feed us the meat from the king's table. Don't give us the wine from the king's cellar. Give us fresh vegetables that we can eat. And after 10 days, you compare those that eat that meat and drink that wine from your cellar compared to the vegetable we eat, and whoever looks the most handsome, who looks the best, then you pick. And that's what happened. Aspenaz was the chief or eunuch who was in charge of doing this. And Aspenaz said, Daniel, do you know that if you fail, that my life now is on the line? That if you feel that they're going to kill me, they're going to kill my family? But Aspenaz saw something in Daniel and his three friends that nobody else saw. They saw a conviction that these four men had and how they were going to give in to the king's demands. And Daniel, I don't know if he said this, but this is just me adding and ad-libbing here. But I'm sure Daniel was saying, you can change my name. I'm all right with that. You can make me go to a school that I really don't care to go to, but I will learn of that culture. I will embrace of that culture. I'm out of my culture, but yet the Spirit of the living God still dwells within me. I am not going to compromise that. And that's what Daniel did. He didn't compromise the Spirit of God that was in him. He had conviction. He was not going to conform. And Daniel was tested with this, wasn't he? He was just not tested with the food, but he was tested it about bowing down and worshiping and how he was thrown into the lion's den. I'm sure you heard that story. That Daniel decree was issued that no one could pray to any other gods but to the God, to King Nebuchadnezzar, who was as a god. And if you prayed to any other god and you got caught praying to any other god, you would be thrown into the lion's pit. And what did Daniel do? Daniel prayed three times a day. It's not that he prayed three times a day over his three meals. It says that he prayed three times a day looking toward east to Jerusalem and pray for the restoration of Jerusalem. His prayer had a purpose. His prayer was not for him, but it was for the restoration of the nation of Israel. And Daniel prayed three times a day for that. And he didn't care if he got caught, but he got caught. And he got arrested. And the consequences of his prayer was that he was going to be thrown into what? A lion's pit. Daniel said, not a problem. If God can't protect me, then he'll take me. Plain and simple. And we know the story goes on. He was thrown into the pit, and they put a cover over it. The king was worried. He stayed awake all night, and he was afraid that the lions were going to eat Daniel. And in the morning, he got up early. He ran to the lion's pit. He rolled back away the stone. And when they rolled back away the stone, Daniel says, oh, Daniel, who lives forever, the God whom you serve, did he rescue you? And what was Daniel's reply? Yes, O king, God rescued me. And no scratch or anything was found on Daniel, and they took him up. And then the king says, whoever did this wicked plot, they're going to now be thrown into the lion's pit. And those that made up this plot to catch Daniel in his conviction of praying to God, they were thrown in the lion's pit. And before their bodies hit the ground, the lions, what, attacked it and broke their bones and ate them. So they got their just reward because of the deceptiveness that they were trying to get Daniel caught in. And there's a lot we can learn there. We can glean a lot from that. We can glean that we don't fight our battles by ourselves, but we fight our battles with the Lord. And the Lord will always come to our defense, and he will always protect us, and he'll watch over us. If harm comes our way, he'll protect us. But those that come against us, they better be careful, because God's going to go after them. And God did go after them, in a sense, and allow their lives to be spared, or not spared. There's another incident you probably know, heard about Daniel's three friends. When Nebuchadnezzar built a big, big statue, and said, everyone had to bow down and worship this statue. And everyone bowed down and worshiped that statue except what? The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there were people in the crowd saying, hey, why aren't they kneeling? And they complained to King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar brought them before and says, we're going to play the music again. And when you hear the music, bow down. And what did the three Hebrew boys say? Before they could even hit the first note on the music, they said, stop, O King Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. The God in whom we serve, we are not going to bow down. It doesn't matter how many times you play that music. We are not going to fall in line. We have a conviction in our heart that we serve God and we serve him only. And if we, and the consequences of not bowing down is to be thrown in the fiery furnace, the God in whom we serve will either protect us or he'll take us. Boy, what faith to have in God. To know that God can protect you, but if something happens, God will take you. They're not taking your life. God is taking you. And the beautiful story is, what happened? They heat up the furnace, what? How many times hotter? Seven times hotter. They heat up a furnace. And then they got the three strongest men. Now, these guys were all bound up. I don't know why they were bound, but they were bound. They were hand tied. And the three strongest men picked them up, got near the mouth of the furnace, ready to throw them in, threw them in, and the fire came out and licked them, killed them, just like that. But the three went into the fiery furnace, and as they thought they would be consumed by the fire, the story says that Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and when he looked in, he saw four in there instead of three. And Nebuchadnezzar had an epiphany. He came to an understanding that we threw three in there, but the fourth one must be the Son of God. See, that's the thing with Nebuchadnezzar. He experienced the spiritualness of who God was. He experienced who God is. And there's a world out there that experiences God. They may deny him until a miracle happens. They may say that he's not real, but when they need him, they call upon him. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He cried into the furnace and said, the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God in whom you serve is protecting you. Come on out. And they walked out of the fire. And what's interesting, the ropes that bound them were burnt off. Not a hair on their head was singed. And there's just something else the scripture says there that catches my eyes. That the stink of the smoke was not upon them. Now, I don't know if you've been around anybody who smoked before, but that smoke smell lingers. I'm not knocking people, but it lingers. I mean, you've been around a campfire, it lingers. You know, we always have campfires down at my house with my grandkids and with the people in the church. At night when we come in, we smell like smoke. We smell like fire. You stink of it. And it's not a bad smell, but still, you stink of it. And the scripture says these three did not even have the smell of smoke upon them. You know, when God protects you, when he tests you and he protects you, he takes away any sign of any type of defeat so you can have victory. You know, that's the thing that God does. And that's what I like about Daniel and the story behind Daniel. I dare you to be a Daniel in the time we're living in. I dare you to live your life in such a way that people see it and they say, there's something different about that individual. Daniel said, I resolve that I will not defile myself. That word defile in the Hebrew means not to pollute or make filthy. Not to pollute or make filthy. You know, you hang around your grandkids. I don't know if we don't hang around our grandkids much because they live far away. But when we hang around them, we see the things that they watch. We see the things they talk about. I mean, they're telling us that there's these demon slayers out there. Just that alone sends shrivels down my back. Demon slayers? Demons that go through walls? I mean, what is our culture doing to our kids? They're making something that is supernatural, something that is of the evil dimension. They're making them so used to it that they can watch a program like that and think there's nothing wrong with it. Now, parents, I may be wrong here. Forgive me if I am. But I don't believe that that's something that your kids should be watching. And when they started watching it, right away they went to their mother and father and say, hey, there's something on the TV that we know that's not right. There's just something about some of those things. Church, we really have to be mindful of what our kids are watching. We have to be mindful of what's out there today. We do. Because those things pollute our children, and we wonder why they walk away from the church and they walk away from God. I'm sorry, but as a pastor, I'm going to say it. They walk away from church and they walk away from God. It shouldn't be. They should serve God, follow God, honor God, stay away from the spiritual world, the spiritist world that will lead them down a path and expose them to things that are going to ruin and pollute their soul. Ouija boards and horoscopes. Let's think of the word horror. Horoscope. There's horror in horoscope. Wow, why do people follow horoscopes? I don't know. There's horror in it. But yet we live in a culture today where these things are becoming more and more acceptable. And we need to stand up against that in the home and in the Christian faith. We are called to be examples. We are called to be light of the world. Godly convictions yield godly rewards. And if we don't follow godly convictions, we are not going to receive godly rewards. What you sow to the flesh, you shall reap of the flesh destruction. And what you sow to the spirit, you shall reap of the spirit life eternal. I mean, that's the principle. Godly rewards reap godly possessions. And then the rewards that God gives us outweigh anything that this world can offer us. The key phrase in this whole thing about Daniel and dare to be different is this: in advance. It says in the scripture that Daniel in advance knew what he was going to say, and he purposed in his heart that he wasn't going to be defiled. Now, I don't know about you, but when the waitress brings me the bill to pay my meal, to pay what I ate, in advance, I have to put a tip down, don't I? I mean, if they treat you well, you put a tip down. You give them a tip. That's something you do in what? In advance. When you pull through McDonald's and you want to get your happy meal for your kid, and your kids are with your grandparents, so you know it's not for them, but you want that happy meal for you. Before you get to the window, what do you got to do in advance? You got to have the money ready. The point is, Daniel in advance made up his mind. Temptation and trials that we go through in advance, you have to determine how you're going to face them. In advance, you got to do it. You got to come to that place in your spiritual life where you say, hey, if I go over to my aunt's and uncle's house and they offer me something that I know that is not healthy for me or something that goes against the conviction that I have of God, in advance, I'm going to say no. So you have to determine in advance. We are not good at making decisions on the spot. Most of us who make decisions on the spot, we don't do well. But in advance, we do well. So I want to encourage you, in advance, think about these things. In advance, always ask God to give you direction. In advance, ask God to give you what you need for that moment and what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, who you're going to say it to. Because we got a world out there that's looking for answers. And if you can come up with a godly answer and give them another way, they will receive of it. Teenagers today are facing so many pressures, Sex is being pushed on our kids as young as in elementary school. So is drinking. So are drugs. So is vaping. I'm not going to look at anybody. So what's to join gangs or to join a group of people? Filthy language, pornography, homosexuality. More than ever before, gender identity. We have a generation of teenagers that don't have the courage to say no because they don't have a loud enough voice to say yes. Whose fault is that? I dare you to be a Daniel. I dare you to stand up for what's right. Charlie Kirk wasn't killed because people didn't like him. He was killed because of the message that he had. Let's face it. You're not going to have friends if you start preaching the Word of God and start living the Word of God. My granddaughter asked me, we were watching a movie about Jesus, and my granddaughter asked me, Pepe, do you preach like that? And I said to her, I said, I hope I do. I hope I do. Because Jesus, coming out of Jesus' mouth, is accepted a lot better than coming out of my mouth sometimes. Right? We got to say no to sex and yes to abstinence. We got to say no to alcohol and yes to sobriety. We got to say no to drugs and yes to clean living. We got to say no to gangs and yes to healthy friendships. We got to say no to moral filth and yes to the Word of God. We got to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. We got to say no to going along with the crowd and say yes to stand alone. Dare to be a Daniel. To say no to temptation and yes to God. To say no to cowardliness and yes to the boldness witness of Christ. We got to say no to sexual compromise and yes to waiting into marriage. We got to say no to rebelling and yes to obedience. We got to say no to the chains of sin and yes to the freedom that comes in Christ. We got to make up our mind now. I'm saying to you teenagers, you got to make up your mind now. Because if you don't make up your mind, someone's going to make up that mind for you. Someone's going to convince you to do something that later on you are going to regret. So make up your mind now that God's grace and God's love is going to flow in your life and that you're going to purpose in your heart not to defile yourself. That you're not going to give in. Make up your mind now. Years ago, there used to be a little phrase that helped me through my time, and I write it in my Bible whenever I face a hard moral choice. Others may, but I cannot. And so many times people say, Pastor, I ain't going to hurt you. And know what I say to them? Others may, but I cannot. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with saying that. I cannot. Just because I don't like broccoli, by the way, I do like broccoli. That doesn't make broccoli wrong. Just because I don't like to roller skate, that doesn't make it wrong. But sin is wrong. Let's face it, sin is wrong. And we have to stand on the promises of God. We have to make up our mind. Others may, but I cannot. This week I read about a redwood as a worship team comes up, a redwood tree that suddenly fell without warning, toppled to the floor in Sedona. I think it was in Sedona, California, or wherever that was, Sedona is. They wanted to find out why this redwood that was 400 years old would fall like it fell. It didn't fall by an axe. It didn't fall by a chainsaw. It didn't fall because of lightning or floods. When they inspected the tree, you know what they found? They found little bugs. The post-mortem, it sounds funny saying it that way, the post-mortem examination revealed a startling cause. That tiny beetles had crawled under the bark and literally started eating away the fiber of the tree. Though on the outside it may look healthy, but on the inside it was dying. It was hollow. You know, church, I look around the room here today. All you look pretty good. You're pretty good looking people. You're pretty good looking. Thank you. Pretty good looking. And they say that. You know, there's something about Christians. They're good looking people. I don't say that in a sensual way, sexual way. I say that in a spiritual way. You look good. But spiritually, how's your heart? Are there little bugs eating you away on the inside? Little sin? Because if it is, it's going to destroy you eventually. Someone doesn't become whatever you want to label them as. It takes time for them to become that. An experienced person, they become experienced because it takes time. None of us are born with that, are we? None of us are born with that knowledge. We grow and we mature. And we become that over time. We want to be like Jesus over time. It takes time to be like Jesus. It takes time to be the spiritual leader that God is calling you to be. It takes time. So I want to dare you today. My grandkids. Pepe, I dare you. Eat this. I said, no, I'm sorry. I can't. I dare you to eat it. It goes in their mouth, but it comes out as quick as it goes in. Because they don't want to, they want to save face. You know what I'm saying? They want to save face. But I do. I dare you today. I dare you to become a Daniel.